morning. Thank you for being here. And thank you for allowing me to get away with my family for a week and be gone and to see some wonderful, beautiful things. You're singing that song just a moment ago, Farther Along. We'll know all about it. It's hard sometimes in life to know why things are going the way they are. And we struggle with it. But as Christians, we have a faith in our Lord that when all is said and done and when life is over, we walk through those gates. We see the face of God, that it will all make perfect sense. But it takes faith to have that kind of hope, that kind of joy. This past week, we went to Alaska. One of the things that I like to do is I like to go on hikes. Now, I know I don't look like the most fit person in the world, but I like to walk through the woods. And one of the hikes we did, we climbed a small mountain. Didn't seem very small, but all the way up. It was rocky, it was steep, and I was huffing and puffing and sweating, and it was like 60 degrees, and I was sweating. And you wonder when you're climbing that mountain, you know, why am I doing this? Why am I putting myself through this? And you get up there to the top, and you look out. It's just so beautiful. The lake, the mountain lake up there, so clear, calm. Sun was shining. I thought about that when we were singing that song. Cheer up, my brother. Live in the sunshine. I want to talk about that for a few moments this morning and close out our series of lessons on Habakkuk. Now, as I pointed out before about Habakkuk, you may think, well, what does a book written so many years ago, so long ago, what has that got to do with me? Find my clicker. Lost my clicker. Got it? No? Happened hard way. What is a book written 2,600 years ago? What has it got to do with me? Well, if you know the Bible, if you know books like Habakkuk, you know what they're talking about, you understand them, you know exactly why you need to know this stuff. But if you haven't read it, or if you don't really understand it when you do read it, I appreciate that. It's a little bit of a challenge to get your head into a language, into a book, circumstances so long ago. But that's my job. As an evangelist, it's my job to open the Bible to you, to explain it to you, so that you can see the great truth of God's Word. Habakkuk lived in a troubled time. Things were bad. They were going to get worse. And as a prophet of God, he was given the task of delivering the bad news. And it affected him personally. It filled him with dread and with trepidation. He trembled at the very words coming out of his mouth. He felt it difficult to say the words. How easy is it to say the words, people that to people that you love, about the country you love, that are going to be devastated? We live in a similar situation. Brethren, things are not good and they may get worse. I'm no prophet, but I take consolation from the words of a prophet. To understand that my faith in God will see me through. But it's going to be okay. That's what I want to talk about for a few moments this morning. Joy and hope in the face of trouble. Habakkuk, the lessons we've had so far is that you just have to trust that God has a plan. Habakkuk asked the question at the beginning of the book, God, why aren't you doing anything? And God says to Habakkuk, I am. I am doing something. I'm going to do something. You just stand back and watch what I'm about to do. We have to trust God has a plan. Because He does. And just because we can't see it, or we don't immediately apprehend it or appreciate it, doesn't mean that God isn't working. He is. We have to trust Him. That's the trust part of the equation. In our ignorance, in our fallibility, we don't know. We have to trust an infallible and all-seeing and all-knowing God who has made this beautiful, wonderful world. He's got things in hand. And it may not be exactly what we have in mind, but it's God is going to take care of business. And we have to trust His judgment about that. That's the second sermon that we delivered on Habakkuk. God has a judgment that's coming upon this world. It came upon the world of Habakkuk. And the first parts of it, he didn't particularly like what God was about to do. He questioned what God was about to do. God, why are you doing this? Why are you sending the Babylonians against us? And God says, you have to trust me, Habakkuk. I'll deal with the Babylonians in my own time. They're going to be judged as well. God has a plan and God will execute judgment. We have to trust both. We have to trust Him. We are the creatures. He's the creator. It's challenging, I know. We've got our own little minds that work on these things. And we have our own judgment about how things should just go. But it's not going to go that way. It's going to go the way God determines. And the righteous will live by faith. It's a great passage in Habakkuk. The righteous will live by faith. Are we going to be the righteous? In our own day, in our own time, in our own challenges, our own troubles, are we going to be the righteous? Well, if we are, we're going to do it by faith. Trust God. I want to close out this series this morning, but turn to chapter 3. Chapter 3 is a beautiful passage, just like all of Habakkuk. And it starts out with a prayer that Habakkuk prays. As I said, you know, he's personally affected by these things. That he is a prophet himself are speaking, and he's moved by it. He's concerned about it. He prays to God. A prayer of Habakkuk, the prophet, on Chigonoth. If you know what that means, you tell me. It may mean on an instrument. It may mean a certain type of prayer that he's composing, like a song. But he says, Lord, he's praying to God. He says, Lord, I have heard of your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds. Lord, repeat them in our own day. In our own time, make them known. In wrath, remember mercy. Beautiful prayer. He acknowledges the power and might of God, the accomplishments of God. He says, God, you are amazing. And what you've done is tremendous. And I am in awe of you. I respect you. I acknowledge you. I acknowledge all that you've done. And we need to do that. Not just in prayer, but in our life. We need to live every day in awe of God. He says, repeat what you've done. One translation says, revive them in the middle of the years. All of the greatness that God has done in the past, all of the goodness of God, all of the things that we acknowledge that God has done, we want God to, that same God, that same great and awesome God, we want Him to intervene. We want Him to act. We want Him in our lives, in our world, in our nation. That is what we should pray for. Come. Act, Lord. We trust you. We're in awe of you. Repeat in our own day, in our own time, make them known. It's not any different for us than it was for Habakkuk. His prayer should be our prayer. God is awesome. God is mighty. God is good. We shouldn't shut Him out of our lives. We certainly shouldn't shut Him out of our nation, out of our public discussion. In wrath, remember mercy. You know, I don't know what God's going to do in our time. I don't know. It may be terrible. It may be an awful thing in terms of the ferocity of its judgment, because there's certainly a lot going on that needs to be judged. And yet it is not out of place to seek, to desire, to want God's mercy. God's judgment is terrible and fearful thing. But God is a God of mercy. Pray for mercy. It's a good thing. And God will be merciful to those who are righteous, to those who have faith. In wrath, remember mercy. You know, the God who has worked great deeds in the past, He's working right now. I'm not a prophet. I don't know how. I don't know where. I can't, like Habakkuk, say, oh, it's going to be this nation, or it's going to be this event that's going to happen. Now, Habakkuk knew because God revealed it to him, and Habakkuk spoke it. And he didn't like what he had to reveal because it was a frightening, terrible thing that was coming down on his country, the country of Judah. We need to understand that that same God is at work today. I don't know what He's doing. He's certainly at work through the gospel. He's certainly at work through the message of Jesus Christ in changing and affecting the lives of people. And you've seen that. You've seen that in your own life. You've seen in the lives of people sitting around you that Jesus has an effect. God is at work. What we need to do is express to Him our reverence, our awe. And that's part of what we do when we sing these songs here that come together. It's not just a meaningless exercise. We are pouring out our hearts to God and we're saying, God, You are great. God, You are awesome. God, You are wonderful. To reflect upon, to read about the great deeds of God in the past. To appreciate all that He's done. That's part of the application of this passage. And to ask for His intervention. And we do. You know, we pray these prayers and we ask for God's help. Carl asked today, help us out, Lord. Some things are going on. We need Your help. It's the right thing to do. It's the good thing to do. It's part of the way that you can achieve some peace of mind and some joy in the midst of troubled times. And ask for His mercy. Ask for His mercy for yourself. Ask for God's mercy on those around you. God is good and merciful and kind. He grants mercy. Ask for it. And stand by and wait and watch for an answer. Because it's coming. And farther along, we'll understand that. We'll be able to look back like looking down off the top of a mountain and just smile. Turning here to chapter 3 and verse 3. God came from Teman. This was God's answer to Habakkuk's prayer. It was, as I understand, the kind of a vision that Habakkuk had. He prays for God to come. He prays for God to intervene. He prays for God's judgment, but also mercy. He prays for it. And he sees, as it were, in a vision, the coming of God. And he's coming up the valley. That's what it means from Teman. He's coming up the valley, and it's an awesome sight. It's a brilliant and overawing sight. And it's both beautiful and terrifying at the same time. And he describes it in such beautiful terms. And the whole chapter does. I'm just going to read some of these verses. God came from Teman. Remember, he prayed for God to intervene. He prayed for God to come. And here God is coming. God came from Teman, the Holy One from Mount Paran. His splendor covered the heavens, and the earth was full of His praise. You just picture it in your mind's eye. The glory and splendor of God just rolling up that valley. His brightness was like the light. Rays flashed from His hand, and there He veiled His power. Before Him went pestilence and plague, followed at His heels. You think God's coming is all good and all bright and all wonderful? It's both beautiful and bright and wonderful and terrifying too. Because God brings with Him deliverance and He brings with Him judgment. And that judgment is a frightful, terrifying, and fearful thing. And it's coming. Just like Habakkuk sees it in his vision. And he uses the language of old. He uses the language to describe the past judgments of God, the past comings of the Lord. And he sees it coming again. He stood, verse 6, he stood and measured the earth. And that's always a reference that implies judgment. You measure to cut. You measure to decide what's going to be taken and what's going to be left behind. You measure to decide what's of value and what is not of value. And the Lord measured. He measured the earth. He looked and He shook the nations. And then the eternal mountains were scattered. The everlasting hills sank low. His were the everlasting ways. You know, as permanent and as enduring as those mountains were that I looked upon in my trip and the little one that I climbed up, and as solid and as permanent as it may seem, they will all be brought low. They will all be scattered and pushed away. And the only thing of endurance, the only thing that lasts, is God. And that's what Habakkuk saw. That's what we need to see. The sun and the moon stood still in their place at the light of your arrows as they sped, at the flash of your glittering spear. You marched through the earth in fury. You threshed the nations in anger. Threshing is an old word that refers to the stomping of the wheat. You're run over it with sleds and you break it up to break the wheat kernels off of the grain. God threshed the nations. That's what Habakkuk saw. He saw God threshing, grinding up and smashing down the nations. Because that's what God's going to do. And that's a frightful thing. It's a terrifying thing. The very thought of it. You think about everything in your life that you're afraid of, that causes you trepidation, that causes you to be concerned, that makes you worry, that keeps you up at night. There is nothing. There is nothing like the coming of the Lord. And when He comes, oh, how both fantastic and how terrifying it will be. Skip down here to verse 13. Habakkuk says, you went out for the salvation of your people, for the salvation of your anointed. Many people think that this passage is a consequence of that word right there, is a reference to the coming of Jesus Christ and the judgment that God will render through Jesus Christ, the anointed of the Lord, for the salvation of your anointed. You crushed the head of the house of the wicked, laying him bare from thigh to neck. God comes to save His people. God comes to deliver His people. And He comes to judge those who are not. And those two parts of God you need to understand. Oh, I love the mercy of God. I love the love of God. I love the fact that God is good and kind and that He embraces us as our eternal Father. I love that. But if I'm not willing to submit to Him, if I'm not willing to embrace and accept His love, and to be faithful to Him, if I instead turn my back on Him and reject Him, then the coming of the Lord will be no grand thing for me. To lay Him bare from thigh to neck. That's talking about the slash of the sword. The application here is the God who has judged in the past, He's coming in judgment again. As He has done so many times in the past, He's coming one more time. Jesus Christ Himself said so. The Lord's coming. We need to see the power of His presence. Just as Habakkuk saw Him in a vision as a prophet, he sees Him coming, and it's both frightening and also enlightening and beautiful and wonderful and terrifying. We need to see Him coming. When I was a kid, we used to do this thing. It was quite foolish. None of you kids should ever, ever do this. But we would stand right next to the train track when the fast train came by. And you'd see it coming. And at first it would be a long way off, and it would not be very loud, but it'd get closer and closer and louder, and then the ground would begin to shake, and the horn would begin to sound, and I know that engineer and that engine, he said, what are them dumb kids doing? They need to get away from the track. And he'd be blaring that horn, and he'd get closer and closer, and by the time it hit with the wind, it nearly knocked you down. Oh, He's coming. We need to see Him coming. We need to appreciate it. We need to live our lives every day in the constant awareness that our God, He's coming. Expect it. Anticipate it. Watch for it. That's what Habakkuk's doing. He's watching for it. He sees it coming. He knows it's coming. And then he says this. He says, I heard. He sees all of this. He sees the judgment of God coming. He says, I heard. And my inward parts trembled. At the sound, my lips quivered. Decay enters my bones, and in my place I tremble. You ever have that happen to you when some bad news or something hits you and you just collapse? You just don't have any strength, and you don't know what to say. And Habakkuk, he was so overwhelmed by this vision and by the knowledge of what was coming, he was just beside himself. Because I must wait quietly for the day of distress, for the people to arise who will invade us. Now, in his time, that was the Babylonians. They were coming. And it was going to be a ferocious, terrible, awful invasion. The Babylonians were going to come in, going to kill, they were going to destroy. And by the time it was over with, there wasn't anybody left. Those who weren't killed were taken away into captivity. And the cities were destroyed, and the temple was destroyed. And it was an awful, awful, terrible, terrible thing. And Habakkuk knew it. He sees this judgment coming, and all he can do is just wait for it. Just wait for it to come. And it filled him with dread. It filled him with terror. But that's not all. And that's the great thing about having faith in God, as Habakkuk did. Trouble is coming. Habakkuk saw it coming in his own time. He saw it prophetically. I can see a little bit of trouble coming in our time. I'm not a prophet. I don't know. But things don't look good. And maybe they'll get worse. Or maybe they'll get better. But I believe in God. I believe in God's judgment. I believe in God's righteousness. I also believe in God's mercy. And as trouble is coming, I understand that it's frightening. Things happen and we don't know. Part of the fear is not knowing what's going to happen. It is frightening. It is troubling. It can be on a personal level in our own life. The illnesses that beset ourselves and our loved ones. The challenges that might arise from that. Economic challenges that might arise. You know, right now, we're fairly prosperous. We're doing very well. It doesn't have to last. The foundations of this country, the based on law. Law is only as good as the people who wish to uphold it. And we feel sometimes powerless, just as Habakkuk felt powerless. He just trembled. His knees gave way and his lips quivered. You feel that way sometimes. I don't know what's going to happen. And I'm a little bit scared about what's going to happen. But here's the great truth. We're not powerless. We're not powerless. Well, why do you say that? Because we've got God on our side, brethren. Now notice what Habakkuk goes on to say. He says, though the fig tree should not blossom, and there be no fruit on the vines, though the yield of the olive should fail, and the fields produce no food. Now, maybe it's a little difficult for you to exactly appreciate what Habakkuk is talking about. And maybe if I put it in terms, maybe we could all appreciate and understand. Though all the shelves in Walmart be empty, and there's no gas at the gas station, and the plants close down, and there's no work, you see, that's the kind of thing that Habakkuk's talking about. He's talking about starvation. He's talking about there's no food. All the things that we look to for security of a material nature, they're suddenly cut off. Now, it's difficult. It's almost impossible to imagine that that would ever be true here. But you know, there's places in the world where there's no food on the shelves. Venezuela, they're going through a terrible time. The dogs and cats are disappearing because there's no food. And people are eating whatever they can find. And they're pouring over the border because there's no food. And I have the opinion that it's because their leaders are fools. You know, our leaders can be fools too. We imagine that we're so safe and so secure, but we're not. Things change. Life changes. The world changes. And Habakkuk looks to a future and he envisions what's going to happen. And yet he says, though. He doesn't say, I'm afraid because the fig isn't going to blossom. There are not going to be any figs. There's not going to be any fruit. There's not going to be any fruit. He's not saying that. He says, though. Notice that. Though the tree should not blossom and there be no fruit in the vine. Though the yield of the olive should fail and the fields produce no food. Though the flock should be cut off from the fold and there be no cattle in the stall. No animals, no fruit, no vegetables, nothing to eat. That might happen, Habakkuk says. And if it does, and though it did happen, this is what Habakkuk says. Yet, I will exalt in the Lord. I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He has made my feet like hinds' feet and makes me walk on my high places. That's the money verse. Two verses there. That's the money passage in Habakkuk. That's where it all comes down to. In spite of all of the terrible things that Habakkuk sees coming down the road, this is his feeling about it. His ultimate conclusion. This is what defines him. I will exalt in the Lord. And what does that mean to exalt in the Lord? How can you exalt in a circumstance where there's no food? The invader is coming. And they take all the food away and they take all the cattle away and there's nothing left. How can you exalt in that circumstance? Habakkuk says, I can exalt. I will exalt. I will exalt in the Lord. I don't know how. I don't know where or when, but I know this. The Lord's with me. And I'm going to rejoice. I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. God says the righteous will live by faith, and I believe Him and I trust Him. And I don't just take that as some kind of a little kind of edge off of my fear and trepidation. It's not as if you're just saying, well, I hope He comes through for me, but I don't know. No. It says, I will rejoice. I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. To rejoice in the midst of trouble is only possible if you've got God in your life. If your whole life is wrapped up in material comforts and material things, and everything in this world is going just great, well, ultimately you're going to be disappointed. And when you are, there's no rejoicing. But in the God of my salvation, there is rejoicing. There is reason for joy. There is reason for hope. The Lord God is my strength. Here Habakkuk is trembling and his knees are giving out and he's afraid, but he says, you know what? The Lord's my strength. I'm not strong. I'm powerless. I don't know what to do, but God does. God's my strength. God will lift me up. God will see me through. The Lord God is my strength, and He has made my feet like hind's feet and makes me walk on my high places. Well, you know what a hind is? It's a female deer, a red deer. And they are sure-footed creatures. That mountain that I had to struggle up, that deer could just run up it just like that. And that's how Habakkuk, quoting from the Psalm, sees his life. In spite of all of the troubles and all of the difficulties and all the challenges and what may come, what loss may be present in his world, he knows that he's going to make it. God will give him strength. God will get him up that mountain. He'll make my feet like hind's feet. And I will walk on those high places. That's some of what, I didn't take that picture, but that's some of what we saw. It's so beautiful there in Alaska, those high places. And I just could envision myself being up there on those high places. Come what may, be secure and happy in the Lord. That's the message of Habakkuk. Trust in His plan. Trust in His judgment. And rejoice. Be happy. Don't trust it just a little enough to be miserable. Trust it enough to know it's going to be okay. To lighten the load of your life. Cheer up, my brother. Cheer up. Farther along, it's going to be good. Come what may, be secure and happy in the Lord. Do not fret over the loss of material things. That's not your life. That's not the all end all and be all of who you are and what's going to make you happy anyway. Don't fret about that. Rejoice knowing that God is with you. He is my strength. He is my salvation. That's a great thing about the coming of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ overcame death. He overcame the weaknesses and frailties of our flesh. He raised up in glory. He's stands at the right hand of God, and we through Him have access to God. And one day when this life is over with, and it may be over with sooner than later for you or for me, that farther along may come at any time. And then it will make our feet like hind's feet. And we will walk in those high places. The righteous shall live by faith. Ye have faith. You believe in God. You believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. He can give you happiness and joy and contentment and a life, even in a world full of trouble. He can give you that. Will you give your faith and devotion to Him? The righteous shall live by faith. Declare your faith in Jesus Christ this morning. Follow the path that He lays out for you. And live it with joy and exalt in the Lord. Turn away from sin and death and the hatefulness of the world. And be baptized. Come up out of the watery grave of baptism to live a new life, a life of joy, of hope, of contentment. Do that this morning. Come forward and say you will as we stand and sing.